From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, President Obama's pick for chief agricultural negotiator has gone on the defensive in hopes of securing a job in the administration. Analysts believe the purchase of the BNSF rail line is a great big bet on the expanding future for corn into the western United States, and Whole Foods says its business has turned the corner and profits are on the increase. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau, and meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. December wheat, 8 3/4 lower at $5.12 1/4. In the soft red, the March at 5.32 1/4, down 8.5, and the May contract at 5.45 1/4, down 8.5 as well. July futures at 5.56 1/4, down 8.25. From the corn pit, 3.76 1/2, the final trade on the day, down 7.5 cents for the December contract. The March at 3.90 1/4, down 7.25. May futures, $4, down 7.25, and the July contract at 4.08 1/2, down 7.25. September corn, 4.15 1/2, 7 cents lower, and the December contract at $4.24, finished 6 3/4 lower on the afternoon. Soy complex now, November beans, $9.67, down 28.5 cents for the day. And the January at 972, down 27. The March futures, 976 3/4, 25 3/4 lower. The May at 976, down 23.5. And July beans down 22.25 at $9.80 for the day. Next year's November contract at 964 3/4, down 21 1/4 of a cent. Soybean meal futures, December contract on the afternoon at 291.30, down $10.30. December oil at 37.18, down 37. December live cattle at 86.35, 10 cents higher. No feeders at 95.60, up 22.5. And December lean hog futures today settled 56.60, down $1.20. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby crude oil futures at $76.62, a settlement price down 78 cents. December ethanol at $1.86 7/10. That's just about a 10th of a cent higher on the day. The RBOB gasoline at $1.99 1/10, 2 1/10 of a cent lower. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.06, down 2 9/10 of a cent. Gold futures at $10,088.70, up $2 even. The Dow at 9,985, currently trading just about 183 points higher for the day. The U.S. dollar at 75.74, up 0.1. The CRB index at 274.17, down 2.7. And the Goldman Sachs at 508.42, down 4.94 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says tonight should be mostly clear across the two states. Lows will range from around 30 in eastern Indiana to just about 42 in the west central parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says tomorrow mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 54 in northeastern Indiana to 67 in southwestern Illinois, and then mild and dry weather expected over the weekend. Perfect for harvest, of course. High temps, mostly in the 60s, with even some low 70s in parts of the west central and southern parts of Illinois. A few spotty showers will be possible early next week, but widespread steady rain, not likely. And no harvest delays should be in the offing. Computer model guidance doesn't show any widespread significant precipitation, by the way, in any area until very late in the next week. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the hour. And we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Dan, let's talk about the marketplace and how you see it unfolding as we head into the end of this year. Cyclically, on the longer-term cycles, do you think that the market can manage to continue to move upward? Despite the last couple of days, we're still up about 10 cents in the corn market for the week.
Well, we are on the corn. Beans have nearly erased the weekly advance with today's big decline. Wheat is still significantly higher yet for the week. So we got one more day of trade. If the market would come back and regain, a good portion of these losses that we saw here today, then I think technically it would be kind of considered a save for the bulls. If not, I think it would kind of open up the gates for a little more downward correctional pressures as we go on into next week.
Are we in a pivotal week at this point for you then?
Well, my work would indicate that you got to be on guard for a meaningful high in here. My initial guess was somewhere between mid-November to mid-December. I know you could drive a semi through it, but that was my original window to kind of be watchful for kind of an important fall high, early winter high, whatever you'd want to call it. And I think that's still in play yet. I would not view the last couple days of negative price action necessarily negating that. I mean, that's a pretty big window, and we got room here for some corrections and still kind of go up for one more leg up in here. So from a cyclical point of view, I guess I'm starting to bite my fingernails as we kind of go forward from here, but I haven't seen anything yet to told me to have me totally throw in the towel until we see what the action is here tomorrow. I mean, the main pivot point to watch is the dollar, because the dollar carry trade is the big thing that everybody's kind of watching in here, which is selling the dollar and buying commodities, or foreigners borrowing cheap dollar at 0% interest and then investing it in foreign bonds that draw higher interest rates. So you do have a lot of that dollar carry trade into the market. And the price action still looks negative toward the dollar, that it would that's going to take out its low that we had here a few weeks ago and go on into new lows for the year. But we'll have to see how that plays. Today, the dollar is a little stronger after a big hard down day yesterday. We'll have to see how that resumes. But I think as long as the dollar stays on the defensive, I think you'll find buyers for the commodity complex.
On the floor there, and you're in the buying floor over at ADM, as you listen to the folks talk to the elevators, what are they telling, what are they hearing from the elevators about the size of the crop, what problems farmers are having with it, whether moisture levels are actually dropping precipitously or not, meaning they're getting into that 20, down to 20 or 21 as opposed to 25.6, and how much throughput those elevator systems actually have.
Well, we'll start with the yields. Just about everything that we've heard, would be a rare exception not, that yields are all very strong no matter where you're at in the Corn Belt. So, and what you're seeing is a lot of the marginal ground that usually, falls short of production because of a lack of rain in the summer, the lighter soils, the sandy soils, their yields are actually right through the roof this year. That's why we're getting an overall average. And I guess the beans, from what I hear on the beans, I think production estimates still could be low on the beans, pretty big numbers. As far as harvesting goes, we have done some catch-up this week, but just about everybody in the Corn Belt, I mean, as a rule, elevators do not have the drying capacity to handle the wet crop that we're experiencing this year in corn. If you've got drying capacity to handle this wet crop, you more than likely probably got too much drying capacity, because this is going to be one of those, you know, 1 year out of 25 that, you know, you just don't have enough drying capacity. Right now, soybeans harvest is kind of going on because a lot of your elevators get plugged up with the wet corn, so then farmers go over to soybeans. But once the soybeans are harvested, then you're going to start seeing probably the corn harvest really slow down, because it's just going to take a time to get it harvested, get it dried, and get it moved into the pipeline. Time.
Is that a logistical help for places and end users like ADM, or does it create more problems for them?
Well, it always creates problems because you know, everybody's anxious and everybody's trying to work as hard as I can. I mean, the farmers, you know, they want to go full blast, but the function of the grain system is not going to be able to handle it. So then farmers get frustrated and tensions start ratcheting up. But fortunately here, we've had a string of nice weather, and the forecasts continue to look like we've got nice weather. So I think, you know, some of the pressures are off a little bit compared to maybe where they were a week ago, where everybody was still in panic. I think things have eased up a little bit because we do have beautiful harvest weather, and everybody's able to go on and get it. Talking about moisture levels, listening around, it does appear that the corn crop is drying down some. Whether it's three-quarters of a point a day or not, but did visit with a few people in the northern areas of Illinois, and they did indicate that corn moisture has come down 4 to 5% from where it was a week ago. So I do think this nice weather that we've had here since Saturday is helping, at least on that aspect. And if that would continue and farmers start bringing in 23%, 22% corn, that's going to speed things up versus this 27, 28% that they've been bringing in.
Especially in the northern areas, is there much concern that test weight is off now that we've got some of the crop starting to come in? Have we been able to get a good handle on whether the crop managed to get itself all the way to maturity, not before the freeze came, but just simply because of the cold weather that it endured all season long?
Well, that's still an issue. Test weight's still an issue, but I guess I don't hear as much about it now as what I heard about it here a couple weeks ago. But no, test weight is an issue on a lot of this crop.
All right. So, what are your suggestions for producers? Are they just waiting at this point to see what happens tomorrow, and then running frantically to the elevator one way or the other?
That's a good question. I mean, they're busy harvesting, and I mean, I'm not too sure they're too focused on harvesting, or I mean, marketing their grain. And of course, each individual's a little different, have different things, I guess. You know, I look at the bids, and I look at the yields that a lot of guys are bringing in, and I guess I'm kind of getting old in my days, is that, you know, what are we going to store this for? I mean, you've got some pretty good prices, you got good yields, and, you know, why hassle with it as we go forward? Because, you know, the market really doesn't offer you much of a carry when you consider that basis levels at some point in time will probably widen out once the pipeline does get full in here. So I guess I would suggest to farmers to take a close look at dollars per acre and ask them, you know, why, if they're going to store it, what are they going to store it for, and what kind of price do they want out of it, you know, at this point. There's a million things in this economy that can go sour, and who knows what we'll be talking about 60 days from now or 90 days from now. I just think we're in a period of an economic climate that, you know, we could experience a lot of curveballs as we go through the marketing year. You look at this morning's export sales on corn. You know, we're selling 20 million bushels of corn a week. This is the time of year we need to sell 60 or 70 or 80 million a week. So the rate that we're selling corn tells me that USDA's balance sheet's way high, and we're going to see some downward adjustments in demand usage, and that's going to be reflected in higher carryover. Bean sales are good, and they're running probably ahead of what we need to run on an average weekly basis. But the reason that is because we've got such a large book on before the marketing year actually began. But you know, selling 20 million bushels of beans ain't too bad. But we're going to see a lot of competition from South America if their crop comes on fairly strong as we go into the, you know, second quarter of next year.
Any final word before I let you go?
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now, two things. One, if you're harvesting, make sure you take a little nap this afternoon. Close your eyes now. You've heard Dan, and get a little rest. And secondly, make sure you come back and visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's Dave Dickey. He has the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the Obama administration's pick for chief agriculture trade negotiator defended himself yesterday against charges from environmental groups and others who say he will favor big agribusiness over small farms and organic farmers if confirmed. Izzy Siddiqui, a senior farm trade official during the Clinton administration, speaking before the Senate Finance Committee, says, quote, "There is no evidence in my public service of 32 years where I made any disparaging remarks against organic or sustainable development. More than 80 groups, including small farm, organic, and environmental organizations, have asked the Senate committee to reject Siddiqui's appointment because he is too close to businesses that make chemicals and genetically modified crops." Analysts say that Berkshire Hathaway's $34 billion purchase of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Corporation is a wager on the economic future of the U.S., as well as a bet on the continued expansion of the corn industry, especially into the Great Plains. Grain transported to export terminals in the Pacific Northwest, Gulf of Mexico, Mexico, and the Great Lakes comprises about half of all the agricultural commodities that BNSF hauls. The Burlington Northern Santa Fe is the nation's leading rail corridor for corn. Whole Foods Market Incorporated said yesterday that its business has officially turned the corner as sales and profit grew in the fourth quarter. After five quarters of declines, the company said sales at stores open at least a year grew 1.6% for the quarter. The natural and organic grocer reported that it earned $28.7 million, or 20 cents per share, for the quarter. And the Labor Department today says that productivity surged in the third quarter at the fastest pace in 6 years, while labor costs continued to drop sharply. The Labor Department says productivity, the amount of output per hour of work, was rising at an annual rate of 9.5% in the July-September quarter, much better than the 6.4% gain economists had expected. Unit labor costs fell at a 5.2% rate. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. On that second program, Commodity Week, this weekend, our guest, the folks at Landworth, we'll ask them about their downward look at the crop in the Midwest and what kind of production estimates they might have. It all happens during Commodity Week. We record at 4:30 on Friday afternoons, post it to the website at willag.org by just about 6 o'clock Central Time on Friday evenings. Please visit the site. Please listen to the program. We hope that you like it. Now up next, Amy Rochkus is here with a commentary from the Farm Bureau about CAP and trade.
American agriculture is gearing up to voice our concerns about the proposed climate change cap and trade legislation. United through a grassroots effort, food and fiber producers of all types will be using a familiar item, the humble farm cap, to capture the attention of lawmakers and make their views known. The farm cap is an ever-present icon of American agriculture, and it seemed a natural fit as a symbol with which to send a message regarding congressional cap and trade schemes. Virtually everyone in farm country sports a farm cap as they go about producing food for our nation and the world. Farm Bureau is encouraging members to write the message, "Don't cap our future," across the bill of a farm cap and hand deliver it to a member of Congress. The symbol is only as strong as its message. This message is robust, "Don't cap our future." The message refers to the fact that analysis from numerous sources show farmers will pay more for fuel, fertilizer, and energy if cap and trade becomes a law. Over time, these higher expenses and a shift in land use would lead to a decrease in food production in the United States. Already, the economic situation in some sectors of agriculture is dire. Many farmers, particularly dairy and pork producers, are keeping financially afloat on nothing more than bank lines of credit. For many, sheer determination is what keeps them in business. Those who are preserving are doing so with a brighter future in mind. Consumers will also be hit hard under cap and trade. The Department of Energy estimates energy costs could grow by $1,870 per household. Combined with higher costs for food, the additional yearly hit on families would be about $2,300 per household. Said another way, the cap and trade law would impose costs of up to $200 billion a year on American households. Congress, please don't cap our future.
Amy Rochka's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-9697. Or email me at tgleason@illinois.edu. In just 2 minutes, I'll return when we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather forecast right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. 500 jobs are coming to Western Indiana through a military contractor, and an economic official says more should be on the way. Those jobs are expected to start early next year as Telic Corporation takes up space at the Newport Chemical Depot. The Army completed destruction of VX Nerve Agent at the site last year. Vermilion County Economic Development Council President Tom Milligan says a confidentiality agreement was recently signed with another employer, and his group has yet to sign off on marketing plans for 11 square miles in Vermilion County. An agency votes soon on a plan to reuse depot space for civilian use. Telic has two other locations in Indiana. The Newport site is expected to be used for building equipment to aid military operations in Afghanistan. A shelter for abused women in Urbana could be on the verge of closing its doors because of slow state funding. Tara Bossert, the human resources manager with a women's place, says there's no set date that the facility would close, but she says about a dozen employees have been laid off and services have been reduced to basically emergency housing for victims and their children, along with a 24-hour hotline. State officials have said that a women's place is near the top of the priority list for funding when it becomes available. Bossert says volunteers have stepped up in the meantime, but many services require specially trained people. Carle Foundation Hospital is selling its long-term care and rehabilitation facility in Savoy. Carle Arbers has been sold to an entity known as Champaign-Urbana Regional Rehab Center. That's the name it plans to use for the 231-bed facility. It'll be managed by Florida-based Traditions Management, which plans renovations. The center houses physical, occupational, and speech therapy services and 24-hour nursing care patients. A former Chicago police officer's trial has been pushed back to next May because he has cancer. John Burge worked in an area of the police force in the 80s and 90s that's now considered synonymous with torture. His trial was scheduled to start in January, but he was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, and attorneys say he had radiation scheduled 5 days a week up until the start of the trial. Burge is not only accused of torturing suspects, but for lying about his knowledge of police torture tactics like sleep deprivation and electrocution. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. On the line for a Thursday with us is Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Beautiful weather for the last several days here in the Midwest, and I think you're going to tell us there are a few more of them to come. Is that right? I hope so.
I think we're going to get quite a stretch. Just beautiful stuff coming this weekend. Temperatures will get milder. We're going to see temperatures getting up and well up into the 60s on Saturday, maybe even touching 70 around Sunday in parts of central Illinois. And then it cools off a little bit late Monday and Tuesday. A front comes through, but it has very little moisture to work with, so we don't think that'll do anything much more than turn the temperatures back toward the normal range or a little above normal. Temperatures finishing out the week in the low temperatures in the upper 30s to mid 40s, high temperatures mostly in the mid to perhaps upper 50s. So it's just a beautiful stretch of good weather, and boy, this is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Midwest and trying to do something with that crop that's still in the ground.
If you look out a little further, do you see continuation of that weather, or do we return to a colder pattern, a wetter pattern, drier?
Well, I think we go back colder. I'm not so sure we go back wet. The problem they may have with wet weather will be down south now in the Delta region and right down to the Gulf of Mexico, where they are also having their harvest problems with the beans and the cotton, especially out there with the crop getting strung out with all the rain they've had, and makes it very difficult to harvest. So I think they've got a quality problem as well, and they'll get some decent weather this week, but I think they're going to see some additional rain. There's actually a hurricane, as a matter of fact,
AM 580 News. I'm Jeff Bossert. 500 jobs are coming to Western Indiana through a military contract. Economic officials say more should be on the way, as jobs are expected to start early next year as Telic Corporation takes up space at the Newport Chemical Depot. The Army completed destruction of VX nerve agent at the site last year. Vermillion County Economic Development Council President Tom Milligan says a confidentiality agreement was recently signed with another employer, and his group has yet to sign off.
Hurricane Ida, will she cause any problems in the Western Plains and the hard breadwinner wheat growing areas?
I don't think so. I think it actually is probably going to get blocked by high pressure. It snows in the Gulf of Mexico next week, and then start to come north. But I think high pressure coming across the north, across the U.S., bringing us fine weather up here, will also block its northward movement. It might turn it westward toward the Mexican coast or extreme southern Texas, where actually they could use some rain in southern Texas. And I don't think it's an issue, but it's certainly
If you turn your attention to South America for me.
Well, South America, they had a lot of rain early this season. It's finally dried out there. Brazil, they've had a drying trend this past week, and that's bringing some relief to the wheat belt and getting their crop underway down there for the spring and summer crops. The Argentine is starting to get a little too dry in spots again. They seem to be the country that's had a lot of problems in the past few years, but so far, so good. I don't think it really looks too bad. It's a better start than I've seen the last year or two down south.
considered
anyway.
Synonymous.
Thanks
with
much,
corporate.
Pete.
My pleasure.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.